Blog Talk Radio.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا An expression of this is, O social creature, have sacred regard for your guardian evolver, the one who gave you your form from one single spiritual essence and created from it its mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds countless men and women. And be sacredly regardful of Allah, the one whom you implore for your mutual rights, and be regardful of the relationships. Surely Allah is over you as a supervisor. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. A hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he reported that the Prophet said, Verily you, speaking to those of his time, 7th century Arabia, verily you are in a time in which whoever among you leaves off one-tenth of what he has been commanded will be destroyed in the hereafter. Then there will come a time, and I think it's this time, then there will come a time in which whoever among you practices one-tenth of what he has been commanded will be saved. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're continuing on our let's call it a rest stop between the continuation of the earlier subjects regarding the Daruri, family, intellect, religion, self, and property, which are the Daruri, which come in the details of the subject, but recognizing it's a long, long ride, let's call it, we take a break to remind us we have a lot to do and that the mission is possible. The mission is possible. I'm going to just mention, inshallah, Allah's in charge. Jummah belongs to Allah. We're just here serving. So whatever He wills, that's what happens. We do the best we can to discipline ourselves accordingly and at the same time be open to His guidance as well. Influence. Why is it even... Where's the weight of that statement? The mission is possible. You know, I don't know. Maybe some men may know. Maybe women too, for sure. But I'm thinking more physical right now. And women have physical too, but let's move on then. It's sort of like, I don't know what your garage looks like. Mine looks pretty good right now, but it has everything to do with Yolanda. It doesn't have everything to do with me. Yolanda's my wife. But before, it looked like what it looks like. Now, it's kind of like, what? I don't know if any of you have any. Maybe your closet might look. Just look at the closet. You know, I got stuff in my closet I know I haven't touched for 5 years. I know. I'm pretty sure I can go to that whole section. You know, closets like that. If I went from here to there, then now you know you ain't touched nothing, wore nothing out of this section for 5 years. Why don't you just take it out and just dump it? Don't think about it no more. Haven't been able to do that yet. Might be something good in there, right? So what I'm saying is life has so many complex elements to it. I mean, just living life. That is, without talking about the particulars of your life, my life. Sometimes it seems like, man, this is impossible. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a mission. And it's really one phrase I take as being that mission. وَلْتَقُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there arise out of you an ummah, a group of people calling to all that is excellent. And when you look at that word khayr, it's saying what's best under the circumstances. And even that right there tells you that you have to think and reason, consider, weigh a matter. And believe it or not, your body is doing that all the time. Your body is always making those kind of decisions internally, unconsciously, when it comes to its comfort, its thirst, its needs, etc. All right, well, that's the same thing we have to do externally relative to our life and everything related to it. You have to do the right thing for your family. You have to do the right thing for your job. You have to do the right thing for your business. You have to do the right thing for your present. You have to do the right thing for your future. You have to do the right thing for every encounter that you have. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-deen mu'amala. Our way of life is in transactions. Every transaction is something that comes under judgment for us. And as a mutaqi, inshallah, as someone who is actively practicing taqwa, then we always have to bring in, which is the verse is telling, you have to always bring into consideration, is, am I giving the proper regard to this? So I'm saying, when you live consciously, there's a lot to consider. So some people don't even consider those things because it's like, man, that's too much. Man, I'm just going to do this. Right? But are you doing everything that Allah has ordered, and is that the best thing to do in light of what your overall work is? So I'm saying that there can be frustration in trying to learn and trying to live and trying to practice al-Islam when you bring into your awareness the world as it is and what you can really see coming. If things keep going the way they're going, you sort of get the feel of storm clouds gathering. And so the statement that the mission is possible is to discourage discouragement. Discourage discouragement. Yes, there's a lot to do. Yes, there's a lot of forces against what it is that we're seeking to do and must do and are under orders from Allah to do. However, the mission is possible. And the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we read the expression of, I want that to be encouragement to you as well. Because, mashallah, I was in Malaysia, 97. They had a board in one of the universities that were, there was a board, let me see it, where you can see it. Let's make it the size of that little framed picture over there. And it had all the lines from the different sciences of al-Islam. It had lines from this, the ilm of that, and ilm of this, and ilm of that. And when I saw that, I said, now who knows all of this? Nobody knows all of this. So I started not feeling as bad about what I didn't know. One reason is like, you can't know everything that needs to be known. This is why we have the mutual watawasu bilhaq, watawasu bisabr. We're supposed to mutually influence each other with the reality, with the truth. I'm to gain from you, you're to gain from me. And by that means, our cognitive distribution, that is our mind, our mental network becomes bigger. I'm sharing your mind, you're sharing my mind. We have a network, a connection, and mashallah, we get bigger that way. And also one of the wrong things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he pointed out, is that the cursed is the one who seeks to learn knowledge to compete with scholars. Is that what you're learning for? To compete with scholars? Yeah, I know that. He don't know that. I know that. She don't know that. Watch out. Shaitan is right there. Now, that being said, this where the Prophet said, you are in a time, he's speaking to those who saw the revelation come to him, who experienced the revelation, who experienced the transformation, who experienced the hijrah and the growth and all that took place during the lifetime of the Prophet, that you have been witnesses literally of this miracle. Allah has favored you in this space and time. The reality of it, you know. And if you fail to practice one-tenth of what you received, you are going to be punished. I don't know the explicit, so forgive me. But there's a report of the Prophet, where the Prophet spoke of the difference between two classes of people, you know, who are my brothers, who are my followers. I don't have the names in the right order, but I'll say this. That the Prophet made a distinction in this report that the ones who are further away would be closer to him and believe, because they believed, than the ones who were close to him and they believed because they were witnesses to it. So why shouldn't you be that way? Why shouldn't you have that attitude? Why shouldn't you have believed? Well, what about the ones who never met me? What about the ones who were never present when the Quran was revealed? And then they still believed. The Prophet gave them a degree of recognition over those who had experienced the miracle in their life with the Prophet himself. So we here the Prophet's report is telling us, even if you practice, if we are sincere, if you practice even just one-tenth of what you received, you're going to be blessed, right? And mashallah, you know, there's a little humor, but also a little truth in it. Not a little truth, there's a lot of truth in it, you know. Most of us probably know maybe about one-tenth of what the religion is, if you really, yeah, come on. So, but look at what we're doing with what we got. Amazing things being done with just a little bit that we have, and it amazes those who have had the religion all their life and for generations in their nations, in their countries, and then they see us, the so-called Negro who's come to al-Islam, they're like, are you really a Muslim? I mean, it's so shocking to some. It's like, they'll go on, they just can't help it. They say, you pray 5 times a day? Didn't I just tell you I was a Muslim? You fast? They just want to know. It's like, are you really a Muslim? I know. Or is it a matter of fashion? No, no. I'm really a Muslim. When you're Muslim? Been a Muslim for 40 years. What? That's the grace of Allah. So the idea is that don't put down what you are able to practice, but don't become apathetic with that. Oh, I only need to practice one-tenth, and I'm good. No, see, you're back to that slave conditioning. No, don't compare yourself to your past. Compare yourself to the destiny that Allah has called you to. See how far you are away from the ideal, not how far you are away from Ronnie Ray, that you mean. I hope nobody in here named Ronnie Ray, but just in case it is. Yeah, man, when I used to do. Now I'm Muslim, right? And you're making one prayer a day. That's good. Alhamdulillah, I don't believe in me. Don't stop. But don't stop being apathetic, comparing yourself to that as opposed to comparing yourself to the destiny. So we always have room for improvement, correct? So I want to iterate how many are the ways that we, and I can't obviously exhaust the list, but have it in mind that these are all ways that we must grow. These are all a part of the mission. Okay? Added to وَلْتَقُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. That's like a group command. Let there arise out of you a group. But there's also the individual command. وَالنَّفْسِمْ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. So there's an order for each of us to grow our own soul. Self-cultivation. That's an order. That's a command. That's the job. Ask yourself, can I feel myself growing? Can I feel myself? Do I have some way that I can measure that I've grown? But don't think that, you know, just look, alhamdulillah, you memorize the Quran, you memorize verses of the Quran, and now you have memorized some more verses than you knew last week, last month, last year. Alhamdulillah, that's growth. But again, don't stop and be satisfied. That's what's called post-praise pause, right? You congratulate yourself on that progress and then sit down, right? No. You have to keep going. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you're free from your immediate task, still labor hard. And I only raise that to point out, yes, that is one area that we need to grow in. We need to grow rationally. We need to grow spiritually. We need to grow morally. We need to grow economically. We need to grow politically in terms of our work for the realization of our self-determination. Listen, Muslims, if we're not determining our destiny, then somebody else is determining our destiny for us. So if we don't have political representation, law is interest in the form of legislation. Law is interest in the form of legislation. When a legislator is put into a seat, they're put into that seat to represent the interest of the people who put them in the seat. And so they write laws, legislation, that are the embodiment of the interest of the people who put them in the seat. So if you have nothing to do with putting them in the seat, or if you don't have someone who represents your interest in the seat, then your interests are not being represented politically. So we can't be apathetic on the political square. But I go back. None of us individually can do all of the things that needs to be done. So that brings into the picture where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to each is a goal to which he is turning. So strive in a race towards all that is good. And wherever you start forth from, turn toward the sacred mosque. Now, I've said three things that I want you to see as equivalents. Ummah is equivalent. Khalifa is equivalent. And the sacred mosque is equivalent in the statements that I made. Ummah, that's the big goal, the big mission, the womb, the environment that we're supposed to create that has the effect of impressing upon us the values that are instantiated by that environment. Listen, brothers and sisters, let's put it like this. Imagine we live in a dome, which we do. We live in a dome, and the dome is projecting to us what it says is true, what it says is right, what it says is good, what it says is bad. That's the culture. That's what the culture does. It says that through the billboards, the TV, the movies, the arts, the food, and whatever, the mores that we're surrounded by. It impresses upon those people in it what's right, what's wrong, what's proper, what's improper, etc. If you don't create the dome that you're in, then you're being impressed by the dome of those who created the dome that's impressing you. So to whatever extent we are not the ones who are the sources of what's being projected in this environment, we are the objects of that culture shaping us and making us what it wants us to be. Doesn't matter whether you got a kufi or a scarf or whatever. What's being shaped is what's under the kufi, what's under the scarf. And so you'll have behavior that lines up with the expectation of your default dome. And so this is what happens with us. So you wind up wondering, that brother's supposed to be a Muslim. Look what he's doing. Look what she's doing. Right? Because there's something else operating beneath the garment that's being driven by the spirit of the dome, as I've described it, the culture, right? And that's what taqwa is about. Taqwa is about watching yourself on the inside so that you can monitor your own thoughts and sensibilities and sensitivities and how you're responding, how you're reacting to determine whether your responding and acting is consistent with the values that you say you subscribe to. Or is it consistent with the values where, you know, everybody knows? Are you trying to do what everybody's doing, or are you trying to do what Allah ordered for you to do? Okay? So there are many, many ways that we have to grow. So the idea, turn toward the sacred mosque to make that point. Khalifa will be an order that is established for the purpose of maintaining the ummah in the way that it should be. That's what you do. You're supposed to keep everything in order. Once the culture gets established, then you have to establish an order to keep the culture in order. I gotta say it. One scholar, academic, he says, we're all protected by something that we cannot see that comes from something that we do not know. We're protected by something that we cannot see that comes from something that we do not know. And the definition of that is a culture. Some of you may have seen the movie Once Upon a Time in America. Once Upon a Time in America. It's a story, it's based in New York, right? And it has all these different, whatever, the Irish, the Italians, the Germans, the Polish, etc., when they were all basically like gangs. The formal civility had not been established, right? And so it talks about all of what the people had to go through to get to that state that becomes the quote unquote civilized state, right? Now that's an idea right there in America, but understand this: civilization itself, as we know it right now, the settled type of civilization, despite the wars that are going on based on imperialism and like that, move past that. That the state where there is an agreement that there should be a rule of law, this and that, do you understand that that's not more, for the norm, that's not more than 12,000, 15,000 years? Civility. We're benefiting right now, say whatever you want to say about it, that America is in the state and condition, though we have things to worry about, be concerned about and watch out for, especially right now in the place that we are right now. Because the fabric of what made for what we deem to be civility in America, that fabric is being torn right now. And what happens is that first as the culture gets established, but then once it gets broken, once it gets torn, then those beasts that were held at bay when there was a rule of law and civility, they come breaking up through the concrete of the culture. Yeah, that's what you're seeing. I got to tell you, when you see the QAnon and when you see the Great Replacement Theory and when you see all these other things that are going on in the headlines right now, Trump really won and January 6th and woo-woo, all those kind of, brother and sister, that's a sign that the strata of culture that was designed to suppress that kind of really madness, it's been broken, and they're coming through it. And so the things that we sometimes may think may be impossible, mashallah, unfortunately, under the state of things as they are right now, they are possible. And maybe some of the same sentiment was in the minds of the people during the rise of the Third Reich. And no, it'll never happen here. No, that will never be enough. Mistake. So turn toward the sacred mosque. Turn toward the sacred mosque. It means dedicate yourself to that destiny that Allah created us all for. Where Quran says, and a visit to it, the Kaaba, a visit to the sacred precincts, is an obligation that all men owe to Allah. What does it mean? You have a responsibility to seek to build ummah. You have a responsibility to seek to establish khalifa. You have a responsibility to take your potential and capacity and put it on the table of your group for the purpose of working towards that aim, so that wherever you are, Africa, America, Europe, Asia, wherever you are, there is ummah. Wherever you are, khalifa. Wherever you are, sacred regard for the values that Allah has ordered, and you have instantiated them in a culture that you can identify as a culture that is true to the original ideas and benefits of human beings as Allah has ordered it. That is the statement. I'll conclude this portion of the khutbah this way. That's what the verse, فَأَكِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِدِينَ هَنِيفًا فِتَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. When Allah says, you make it your commitment, everything I'm talking about now is that, are you committed to that? Are you a soldier in that army? Are you working for that? Really want us to really think about, what do I think about when I study? Do I think about how much smarter I'm going to look? Do I think about how much I'm going to be able to rub shoulders with other people who I think know? Or am I thinking about it as, look, I need to up my game so I can strengthen my participation in the establishment of what Allah has ordered? I have found my niche in terms of what I can put on the table for Ummah, for Khalifa, for the sacred establishment of human life. I found that, and my learning is for that. Allahu Akbar. Any other motivation, you'll be like that one in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You had the qari, you had the one who is charitable, you had the one who died as a martyr, and they spent their life until they died on those things, and Allah questioned them after showing them the graces that He's shown them, and then God said, what did you do for these blessings? And each one said in turn, I was a qari. This one said, I was a giver, open-handed. Another said, you know, I fought until I died in your cause. Allah said, you lied. You did that so that people can say, oh, he's learned. Or you did that so that people can say, oh, he's open-handed. You did that so that people can say, oh, he's courageous. And they said it. You got your reward. Then Allah ordered them to be dragged on their face until they landed in the fire. Do you want to live a life where you're not certain about your own motivation, your own intention to serve God in good things? There's warnings in the Quran so much about there are those who think they're gaining good by what they're doing, but in the end, it doesn't bring them the reward that they're expecting. Why? Heart wasn't in the right place. So when we recognize that we have to develop our talents, put our talents on the table, cooperate with each other's talent. I should not be jealous of your talent. You should not be jealous of my talent. Remember this, envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide. When you envy somebody, it's because you're ignorant of your own potential and ability. What do I need to be envious for? Because God has gifted everyone. So if I see this brother, I see this sister, they found their gift, and it looks like they found their gift because I can see the love and I can see the effort and the energy and the tirelessness with which they pursue that and the perfection that they put into it. I say, look like that person has found their gift. For me, it's like, hey, yeah, I appreciate it because it's a gift from God. Have you ever got a gift from God? I think so. When you see somebody's gift from God, what can you say? Alhamdulillah. You don't say, who that nigga think he is? No, I haven't said that in many, many months now. I told you I got some rollover niggas from last year. So, and I just used them all up. Okay. The point is, when we show appreciation for the gifts, that's a part of the cultivation of the gifts. And when we don't just glory in our gifts, but recognize that our gift is supposed to be a part of that horn of plenty that we're supposed to put on the table to realize those three destinies, that's when we're doing it. That's when we are satisfying our part in the mission. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I think, brother and sister, mashallah, we had mentioned that this is a break that we're taking between the subject. And when we moved away from the subject, which is essentially family, we had gone as far as, I believe, 20 parts in that. And I have a sense of satisfaction that this break of these past 2 weeks, or what, 2 weeks for me, we're ready to get back on the road. And what I'd like to do is just give a cornerstone of the return. What does it entail? But it's still all about family. Still all about family. Okay. That verse that we opened with, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً ۚ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ ۚ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا ۚ صدق الله العظيم. In the verse 30, one of the points that I wanted to point to is فَأَكِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِدِينِ حَنِيفًا فَتَرَ اللَّهِ فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا فَتَرَ النَّاسَ. He originally, النَّاس. النَّاس also means civilization. It means civilization. You know, it's a small step for man, giant step for mankind, something like that. Small, yeah. So the idea is, النَّاس is civilization. And in this verse, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, it's there too. Oh, social creature. Right? So you're talking about civility, civilization. Okay? We're supposed to be building civilization. Don't just think about, you know, Roman, Egyptian, Asian civilization. No. We're supposed to be building, which is also what Ummah is. We're supposed to be building a civilization, but upon the nature of the human being, upon the design, fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas alayha, upon the design of the creator of all. So it's like, you say you're going to make a car, okay, where's your blueprint? Where's your blueprint? You say you're going to make a civilization, where's your blueprint? See, there are people, you know, on that, on the other side of the fence. Y'all need to know who I'm talking about. I just don't want to keep just expressing negativity about it. But you know who I got negativity for. But they have a blueprint for how they think America can be great again. Have you ever seen that blueprint? It's like, okay. I'm trying to resist. I mean, can you imagine a Bilalian say, can I get a peek at the blueprint? It's like, I'm with you. But can I get a look at the blueprint for what it looked like when we are great again? That made me think, when were we great before? Okay, when we were great before, show me a picture of where I was in that, you know. So you got a picture? You don't have a picture. Oh, it's going to be fine. Y'all get what I'm saying? But our Lord has told us, well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ. You build an ummah. You build a civilization. What do we use? Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas alayha. Use the original human design as the foundation for, as the blueprint for your civilization. And don't change it. La tabdila li khalqillah. Do you understand that we're on a holy, unique work? It's not, we're not trying to rebuild some America. It doesn't matter. You can go all the way back to 1776, whatever. I mean, however you want to look at it, we're not looking for a blueprint that comes off the college campus. Do you get what I'm saying? We're not looking for a blueprint that comes from the universities. We're looking for the blueprint that comes from Allah's revelation that is patterned on our very human nature. So in this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum, there's an-nas again. Oh, you civilized creature, oh, you socialized creature, have regard for Allah. In that verse is really the whole story. Wallahi. Allahu alam. And I'll try with Allah's help to just, in essence, abstract that. First it says, you are a social creature. So the social conscience is what's the primary attitude that we have to have. The primary thinking we have to have is an attitude that is socially redeemable, socially oriented to civility, sociability, making life humanly habitable. That's primary. How do you do it? Taqu rabbakum. Have regard for your guardian evolver. Your Rabb is the one who khalaqa, fasawwa, waqaddara, fahada. He's the one who gave you your form, gave you a place within the system, gave you a potential to grow from simple to complex, and gave you a place in his guidance. This is true for every one of us. My movement through this statement is simply to say that is one of those categories that we have to master and apply. When we can master and apply that idea, it's like, okay, yeah, and that's taqu rabbakum, your guardian evolver. Okay, my guardian, in the verse that I'm citing, it even starts, Surah Al-A'la, right? Sabbih ismi rabbika al-A'la. Glorify your guardian evolver. God is telling us, look, there's a pattern in you. You have to bring that pattern out. And on its expression, you have to elaborate that pattern in the way you structure your world. You structure the world in a way that respects that nature and the intention that Allah put in that nature for its expression. Allah has created us. So as we grow, then we recognize, okay, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. Where does that list come from? Comes from the expression of our nature. Be regardful of your guardian evolver, the one who gave you all these things I just mentioned. And he created you from a single spiritual essence. Be acknowledging that. I'm going to say this is not for you to grasp it totally right now, but you need to get it in there, set it to the side, and then when you get the details, we'll get to it. When Allah says, خَلَقَهُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, we are all created from something that is only one. We are all created. That's not just us in this room, but all the human beings on the planet are a part of that nafsun wahida. We have this sense of uniqueness, of this separateness, of this individuality, and that's a part of the great and wonderful, beautiful, and comprehensible mysteries of the nature of life. How is it that I can be one singular person with boundaries of my own, but yet at the same time connected with everything else that has life? Not just every human being, but everything else that has life, I'm connected with it. But Allah has structured life such that I can feel my autonomy, I can feel my individuality, I can feel my separateness. But the Imam, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahim Allah Alayhi, the Imam said we have to grow from smaller circles of identity to broader circles of oneness. There's an evolution in everything that I'm talking about that means that, yeah, you see yourself as an individual. And this world is trying to force you into being an individual. They want to force you to just be an individual. Don't try to be with nobody. Be your own man. Be your own woman. Be your own self. Tell your truth. Wah, wah, wah. That's Satan talk. Because that means you will stay within that boundary that you identify as yourself. And if they lie to you about who yourself is, they have put you in prison until you die, because the self that you've identified as yourself is not your self. It's their identity for you as yourself. And so if I control how you identify yourself, I give you your identity, then I control you. خلقكم من نفس واحدة So recognize that we're part of one soul. When we grow, there's a way to grow from each one. You have to move from self to family, family to community, community to nation, nation to the world. And there are things that you have to do to stop just being an individual self, primary of which is get married. Starts there. Get married. And that's what this verse talks about. It says, created of like nature, its mate. It's actually talking about the spiritual reality, masculine, feminine, and the physical reality, male and female. There's a difference. There's an abstraction that Allah said, that's just our words. There's an abstraction that Allah has created that is feminine, that is masculine. And there's a concrete that Allah has created that is male and female. And in each one of us is a masculine and a feminine quality. Don't think rainbows when I say this, okay? That's another thing. They done stole the rainbow. There's no way. What if I, you know, so I feel like I'm going to get jiggy with it, you know, and I say, man, you know what? I'm going to bust out this rainbow koofy today. You know what I'm saying? It's like, buddy, man. I mean, you know. Why? It ain't nothing but a rainbow. Just, whatever it used to mean, it don't mean that no more. Theft of culture. Right? So the idea is that yin and yang. I believe in abbreviating. Yin and yang. Each one of us. There's a masculine, there's a feminine dimension of me, right? The masculine and feminine, I didn't say male, female. Masculine is abstract. Feminine, abstract. There are qualities that are feminine, love, patience, mercy, nurturance, care, whatever. Those are feminine qualities by abstract description, right? The male side, or rather the masculine, distinguish the masculine, anger, control, acquiring, right? Acquisition, you know, territoriality. Those are masculine qualities. And we have to have some of both of them, but they have to be in balance. When a man does things that women, quote unquote, normally do, he's supposed to do it from a masculine core. Right. There's a lot of humor to that, but I'm not going to mess with it. The idea is, and when a woman does what a man would normally do, she does that from a feminine core. If either of those qualities, masculine and feminine, are not balanced inside that individual, that's when you get wrong expressions in that male or that female's behavior. It's because they're masculine, abstract, feminine, abstract, are not in harmony, balance. You might even say they're not married well. When the individual achieves that, that's called syzygy. It's called syzygy. The person and individuation. That's not the language for it. A man can be comfortable with doing things that, let's go with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. the prophet, things that we inherently think about as feminine, the prophet did household chores, he darned his socks, he cooked his food, he did those things that some people may think are more feminine things, right? And that's the culture. The point is that a man is comfortable doing those things that are nurturing, that are kind, that are forgiving, that are merciful, quote unquote, without feeling that they're being somehow effeminate. It's like, no, you're supposed to. Look at it. Khalifa, feminine term. Feminine term. Khalifa, ta'amaruta, ends with it. Imam, from a feminine root, So a khalifa that doesn't show those feminine qualities in their expression, you understand what I'm saying, the mercy, the kindness, the forgiveness, the compassion, the nurturance. If you have a khalifa like that, that doesn't do that, you got a problem. That's not even khalifa. Imam, the same. There has to be expression of those feminine qualities, the abstract feminine expressed in masculine ways. All right? And just as a counterexample, another example from the female side of it, Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was manifesting a whole lot of masculine qualities. Was she not? Yeah. But she did that not as trying to be a man or compete with men or et cetera, et cetera. She was on a mission to serve whom she believes she's serving God, but she was doing so also by expressing masculine qualities. Okay, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he created from its mate, so you have the abstract masculine, feminine in the nafsun wahida, and then created from its mate, so you have the biological male and female. Inside of the biological male and female is to be a balanced expression of the masculine and the feminine. Now, with that balanced masculine and feminine, each that woman and that man, they marry. That's what I'm giving you the blueprint. The blueprint is a man that is well married in the way that I've just been describing. He's well married inside himself. Then he also marries one who is also well married inside herself, and now the two of them, in cooperation with the design of Allah, they obey Allah in their marriage, and in so doing, you get the family, you get the parenting. And so when children, رجال كثير ونساء, it says men and women, but before they got to be men and women, they were first boys and girls. And if you have two people like the two I'm talking about, cooperating with each other and generating and emanating and influencing the boys and girls in their environment to grow up in the emulation of what they see in that man and that woman individually and together, when that child comes up under that, now they come up as a balanced human being. Allah, that's right, the boys and the girls. Now they're men and women. And then they do what? It starts all over. Now they get married upon the right foundation and with the right socialization. They come together, and because there's a dome, there's a culture, there's an ummah that reinforces and that projects those values through the movies and the books and the food and the dress and the whatever, that becomes their culture, and so now it becomes automatic for them. See, you and I are going to have to do it consciously. But once we do it consciously, then the culture takes over, and it automatically acculturates and inculturates inside of the citizens of that culture. وَالْتَقُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً. Then those citizens will automatically come up according to the values and the designs of the established culture / ummah. Okay, so question becomes, how close are we to that? Hey, make a projection. Who do you think we're going to see that as the norm? Now, just using your estimate, you got to ask yourself, I'm inviting you to ask yourself, And what are you, we, I, me, you, what are we doing to make it happen? What are we doing? What are we doing? Well, I go to Juma area. I can always come to Juma. Alhamdulillah. Don't stop coming, but I'm just saying. Is that all we got to do? Is that all? Come on, brothers and sisters. What I'm saying is that you can't just wait for the imam to jack you up to the point where I'm good for a year now. No, it's like, come on. You got to live and die on this thing. Really. Because people are going to die around us, in front of us, and what have you. The job still goes on. So truly, commit yourself. Stand in that mirror. Look at yourself. Look at the physical, but more important, look at your spiritual. Look at your psyche. Look at, am I for real or am I running some kind of game that I'm trying to convince people that I'm something that I'm not, just long enough for me to get whatever it is I'm trying to get out of the few little people I can trick? Don't play with God's program. It gets real ugly for the people who play. فله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقت لي وأنا عبدك وأنا على آلك وعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبو لك بنعمتك عليا وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Oh Allah, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for putting faith in our hearts. Oh Allah, increase us in our faith. Oh Allah, we thank you for making us conscious of you. Oh Allah, increase us in consciousness of you. Oh Allah, protect us from our own arrogance. Protect us from our own foolishness. Protect us from our own ineptitudes. Protect us from our own charades. Oh Allah, bless us to be sincere. Oh Allah, remove from our heart anything that is simply for self-aggrandizement, simply for pride, simply for approval, simply to gain benefit in the audience of people. Oh Allah, make us true and sincere servants of yours in the best way. Oh Allah, prepare us for being able to be prepared in the way that you prepare those who ask for such graces. Oh Allah, strengthen us so that we might be better servants of yours. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
I'll bring it down now. You know that we got a job to do. I'm talking to you and you and you. Every man, a woman, boy and girl. We got the job to remake the world. So get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
Get up,
you mighty,
come on and get up.
Get up,
you mighty
people, play your role.
Get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
To remake the world.
world, you've got to start with this land. Our country is sinking in the sand. The president is just one man. He can't solve everything, but united we can. Or you people can lend a hand. An example of our great demand. Come on, be a great woman, be a strong man. Show the American how to be American. And get up,
play your role.
Oh, get up,
united.
Come on, and get
play
up,
your role.
Come on, get up,
united. Play your role.
Oh, get up,
united.
Clean, because we should get your children involved, and then they would not grow to be tough, grow to be hood. If you want to do some good,
get up,
get up,
important part must be dealt to tend to your countries, dealt to add to your communities, well to give your children some help. I got, you got, you got, you got, we got to listen to what I tell you, to put the world in the right state of health. Remake the world by remaking yourself, and get up,
united people, and play your role.
Get up,
united,
come on,
and get up,
come on,
and
get up,
united people, and play your role.
Get up,
united people, and play your role.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for Universal Dimensions of Leadership. Get all my mic stuff straight here. All right. Lots of moving parts. Alhamdulillah, we are properly connected now, alhamdulillah. Again, thank you for being with us. Okay. Thank you for being with us. Alhamdulillah, we just aired yesterday's recording from Masjid Orathine here in Oakland, California, under the subject, The Mission is Possible. And that's the second and last part of that, what I'm considering to be a break, as we continue to move through the five daruri. The five daruri, which is family, intellect, religion, the self, and property. So I don't know. This, you know, it could be years, mashallah. But all of this has to do with the fact that it's all about Khalifa, Ummah, and the sacred mosque understood as the destiny of the human being. And those five, all of those well-placed and firm in our lives is what provides the foundation for that coming into reality. That is the mission. It is a lifelong mission. And mashallah, we have to be on it, stay on it, keep going until it's a wrap. Mashallah, that's it. Alhamdulillah. Welcome. And as always, we welcome and invite your input at the beginning of the broadcast. We want you to keep into consideration the fact that there may be others who also like to make comments. And yours truly still often has something to add to the conversation, and we like to be able to do so without feeling rushed. Many times that's on me and not necessarily on you. But keep your dad with respect to mutual sharing of the time that we have here together, and all will be well. So punch one on your phone. Come on through. We look forward to it. Let's start out with our brother Mark. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And Mark Shaheed from the STL here in the Gateway City. I want to commend you on the excellent Kutbah Part 2. It's that the mission is possible. I want to say how good it was to see you at this historic conference that we attended in Chicago last weekend. Alhamdulillah. And, you know, I see, I really do see a correlation there, you know, in terms of the theme of the conference, you know, on the way in terms of the new mind, the new people, and all. I see that correlation with the mission being possible. It's possible because Allah created us in a way that the destiny speaking about in terms of the Kaaba, but also in terms of being Caliph of the Ark. And, you know, as I think about what it is that Allah has created us to do and what it is that we are to be, it's possible if we're very sincere about it. It was the Prophet Muhammad was reported to have said that religion is sincerity. Religion is sincerity. And so it starts with being sincere. It starts with being, and they explain honesty, integrity, and all of that, and then began to work with that fervor in terms of actually doing and accomplish Ummah. This is a big role and responsibility, you know, and what it is that we have received over the years as a community. And I think you did an excellent job in opening up last week in terms of chronicling our history, looking at the maze that we have come through as a people and all. But after coming through all of that and being completely emptied out, but look what happened. We got completely filled up. So... there is something that we owe, and when we understand deen, the root meaning of deen is debt, as Imam Muhammad was teaching us, it's a debt that we owe, and we owe it with our whole life. I can say more, but I already know you've already set the parameters.
No, go ahead, say more.
I'm not lying, because that, you know, one thing about radio, you can't see, you know, who's behind you or what, you know, in that regard. But very, very important, you know, that the debt is what it is that we have to do our life and who our life should be given to in terms of the purpose. And, you know, as a word tologist, and I like to use the word purpose and workshops and seminars that I do, is people understand the real plan of successful existence, or if we are talking about individual, a personal understanding of the revealed plan of successful existence for us individually, but there's a collective purpose, and Allah gives us that in Surah 51, 56 of the Quran. We have a collective purpose. We have an individual purpose. And I think it's so important for us to know and understand that. And once we become consciously aware of that, now we have to really get busy in working toward that accomplishment. And there is a destiny for all of human life, for us and for other people of faith too. And Imam Muhammad have said that to us. So this is a timely topic that you have. The mission is possible. I remember years ago, I'm quite sure you remember that it's a TV series called Mission Impossible. Mission mm-hmm. Impossible. But this mission is very possible. Allah says in the Quran that he always, he gives all of his creatures their provisions. Why is that important? Allah don't ask or require anything of us or anything in his creation that he has not given the provisions. So he's given the human being the provisions to be able, you understand, to accomplish these things. When he says, Khalifa, the art to be responsible, not only for yourself, but for your family, humanity, for the creation itself. All of that's possible, and he's given us the provisions. He's given us the intellect, the freedom of intellect, and all of these things that is actually needed, the sensitivity and all of that. All of this is in the Quran, and by the way, we should read the Quran, try to make it our business to read the Quran every day. If we don't read no more than just an ayat from the Quran, yeah. You know, so I'll stop there, brother Imam, but it's an excellent khutbah. It's a thought-provoking khutbah that actually should make us really, really think, because sometimes the influence of the shaitan in the environment can actually influence and impact us as Muslims too, and depending mm-hmm. on where we are, that immediate mm-hmm. environment will say, "Wow, I don't know about this. I don't know if this can happen or will happen." But mm-hmm. each and every one of us say, "If it is to be, it's up to me." And if every individual say, "If it is to be, it's up to me," and we get enough me's, we turn that M upside down. And then we can say, mm-hmm. if it is to be, it's up to we. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Shukran. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark is the lone sharer this morning. Alhamdulillah, his comments are always welcome. They are always thought out. He's not a rambler. We used to have a car, family car called the Rambler. It's a beautiful car. I got a lot of memories tied to that. But he's no rambler. He's always studious, focused, contributed, and so we always value his input. I'm going to give you one more shot. Those of you who are on watching us live on Facebook and YouTube, you can type in perhaps comments from you. Particularly, I've noticed that. Okay, I have two Fahim Shoaib sites. One is Imam Fahim Shoaib on Facebook, and the other one is just Fahim Shoaib. It seems that the comments that come through on the StreamYard are normally from the Imam Fahim Shoaib site. So it's the Facebook site. So if you're there, you know, you can type in your comment. Inshallah, I will see it. Also, one more time, because once I take off into my subject area, I stop looking at the dashboard for Blog Talk or the comments from StreamYard, i.e. Facebook and YouTube, and I just go on until we conclude the morning. So let me give you one more go before I go, inshallah. And what I am going to do, inshallah, is simply clear out as much as I can of the notes that still remaining from the Mission is Possible segment, because next week, inshallah, Allahu A'lam, next week I'm going back to the subject of family, part of which I've laid out in this morning's broadcast, really starting with the focus on Ayah 1 of Surah 4, and hopefully, and I pray, you pray with me, pray for me, that, you know, listen, I'm not unnecessarily or unduly trying to extend any of these subjects, but I have to feel a sense of completion, at least from my sense of obligation,
of sharing. I want to make sure that I've shared as much from that as would be useful for the understanding of the audience to put it to work wherever they are, because that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that you have to work where you are, work in your places, in the interest of the master mission. That's what you have to do. Don't worry about so much who's working with you or who's doing the same thing, et cetera. You need to know that you are yourself doing what you're supposed to do. And my sense of responsibility is like, okay, look, here's the blueprint. Here's the playbook. Here's the X's and O's, and that's it. Abdul Shaheed, yeah, press 1. Press 1, Abdul Shaheed, and you can come on through. So if you, yes, great, there you go. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sir.
Check your mute, bro. Okay, go.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we all can hear you, my brother. How you doing?
Oh, fine, alhamdulillah. Yeah, you have to forgive my technology lax.
Oh, we all have that. We all catching up. Keep it moving. You all now.
Okay, yes, sir.
This is a win. Take this as a win.
Yeah. This is my comment. The subject,
okay.
The destiny. Brother Imam, you know, one of the things in the years that I've been listening to you, and, you know, and before that, of course, listening to Imam Muhammad, the words were words that touched me in my mind, in my heart and soul. But I've finally come to notice to know that, hey, it takes time to really understand those words. There is a destiny. I now realize that. There is a real destiny for us. And so I just thank you, Brother Imam.
Alhamdulillah. I thank Allah. Alhamdulillah. And I thank Allah for you, for your understanding and for your growth. You know, just what you've demonstrated, you stated, your understanding of what it takes to understand. So I'm just going to augment what you're saying with a concept. And the concept is that words and ideas, they're simply like seeds. They're like seeds. And so once they get planted in your mind, in your consciousness, you become aware of them. Now they begin to grow. And as they grow inside of your consciousness, inside of your mind, by virtue of being reinforced by other thoughts that come in and fed by thoughts that you already have, then finally that understanding, the fruit of that mentation, the fruit of that mentation comes, dawns in your consciousness as, I understand, right? Well, that's the fruit from the seed of the idea and of the word, and mashallah, that's it. That's why it's always good to just keep reading, keep planting, keep reflecting, and that's the tending of the garden. Then the garden of our consciousness grows. Alhamdulillah. Congratulations. Thank Allah.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right, brothers and sisters. So I'm going to take off. What I'm going to do is simply share from the notes that I really use in the Jummah, and we're just, whatever, cover what we have from it. Now, those of you, even though I'm just going to be, well, to begin with, that's my intention, going to be just reading the notes. So Blog Talk, of course, you won't be able literally to see it, but there's nothing to see other than the fact that I am sharing my notes visually with those who are watching. So they're just written notes from a Word document. But I want to put them up there so that the individual can still just kind of take a look at them while I read through them. Also, it kind of puts a little bit of a bridle on me to say, okay, stick with the notes, you know, don't go too far from that, because you're not really trying to get into something that takes a lot of time to explain. just want to share. Pardon me. All right. Yeah. So this is a follow up on the mission. The mission is possible, and these are literally my notes, but most of which I didn't actually get a chance to cover in that. But I don't feel that it's necessary. Let's go. So we say we can choose to just simply exert ourselves like most people in the world without real knowledge of Al-Islam, and by that method, all we have the right to reasonably expect is to achieve what the average person achieves. Now, this statement actually comes on the heels of commentary that was designed to say there are many of us as Muslims, mashallah, I really want to take this as coaching, less as criticism per se, but we do need to know, as I was saying earlier. Or in the khutbah yesterday that we replayed, is that you can get to a place in your life where you can be quote-unquote satisfied. You can just by living a little bit of the Islamic life and denying, you know, the appeal and responding to the things that the world is inviting us to engage in that has distracted so many other people, but then we decide, nah, I ain't going all along with that. I'm not going into that. I'm not going to be involved with that. I'm not going to be engaged with that. I'm not going to be, you know, held up by that. And so you deny that. That's good, right? And also, you may go to college or you may have a good job and a good career, et cetera, and you can have a good life and you can have a settled existence that's not distracted by all the things that the world invites and pulls people into, but you're free from that. And so in consequence of just that much discipline for yourself, your life can be improved and your life can be better than the average one in the world, per se. But you do so simply by embracing values of someone who simply wants to have a stable life, who simply wants to have, you know, a good family, who simply wants to, whatever. Let me just say, have a middle-class existence, right? And you can be fine with that. You can be fine with that. But all of that description, but also not really studying Al-Islam, kind of looking to your career and what your education and what your economic situation has provided for you as this sense of stability and security, et cetera. And you can, as they say sometimes, rest on your laurels. But you're not really, I'm talking about Muslim now, but you're not really studying Al-Islam. You're not really embracing Al-Islam as quote-unquote, really your guiding light, right? And so there are many in the world who can fit your demographic description. That is, we can take a profile of you and take a profile of the other. You're a Muslim, they're non-Muslim, but we take away any idea of Islam from either description. It's like, well, what's the difference between this one and that one? There's no difference between them from a demographic point of view, which means that if a person chooses, this is what we're saying, if a person chooses only to exert themselves well enough to have a good life in this world, then, you know, then all you can really reasonably expect is to achieve what the average person achieves. So you become just like any other person. Take away the Islam, take away that religion as a factor in your description, then you become just like the average middle-class person. Is that all right? If that's all right with you, then alhamdulillah, live your middle class life until you die, right? And the point is that we want to recognize that, yes, we can have that life, but then it's not really the destiny. It's not really the goal. It's not really the aim. The aim is not just to have a stable, secure life, living in a good zip code with a satisfying bank account and a nice career. No, that's not it. The goal is Khalifa Ummah establishing the reality of the human destiny. So the point is, though that condition is not desolation, that is doing as well as the average middle class person, as an example, though it's not desolation, it's also not the excellence that we were created for. You see, it's easy, I would think, it's easy to be satisfied with that middle class demographic kind of life, right? To strive for it, to have it, and seek to maintain it. That's what people are doing, right? And some Muslims achieve middle class status, and they look at the average other one in their demographic, or they look at their own past, and they are satisfied and say, you know, consequently, they don't feel the need to check in with Allah. They don't feel the need. They don't feel the pressure to, what's the status of my service to God? I mean, what's my standing? What's my report card with God? What's my report card with Allah? You know what I'm saying? What's my credit score with Allah in that sense, right? So to that extent, then, such people may not feel the need to really establish salat in their lives, don't really feel the need to make sure that their zakat is in order and being fulfilled as an obligation, because that their demographic, those the attributes of their middle class demographic in my model has caused them to become apathetic. When I say apathetic, you know, you're not passionately, whoever the case may be, whoever they're supplied to, they're not passionately pursuing a good report card and a good credit score with Allah by virtue of doing what the religion, our way of life, demands of them. So on quote unquote, on the outside, from all external perception, they look fine. Oh, they're a model. They're wonderful. But you have to look at the inside. That person, their sense of self, their sense of heart's fulfillment in relationship to Allah, in relationship to the claim of al-Islam, in the relationship to the name, even your name, living up to it as it is connected with the way of life al-Islam. So this is the invitation is to watch out for that anesthetizing effect of middle class existence for Muslims. Okay. So they're satisfied, and consequently, they don't feel the need to check in with Allah and compare themselves to the ideal. We mentioned that in part during the khutbah. You know, don't just compare yourself to who you used to be. Compare yourself to where Allah expects you to be. Don't just compare yourself to who you used to be. Compare yourself to where Allah expects you to be as a believer, as a servant of His, etc. So as to see how well you're doing on His scale of expectations for you, that's what's important. That's what's critical. So you have commercial media campaign has as an issue mental health that is right now in the society at large. You have the commercial media, yes, you know, it's really about mental health, right? A big part of it, right? And so to bring our attention to that, and each individual case of mental dis-ease, meaning that speaking about that internal, you can have the external together, but the internal, it's reality, is what you live with, right, what you experience. And there are some people, some middle-class Muslims who have this dis-ease, this mental dis-ease. I'm saying to you that it is connected with how well we are or are not connected with Allah's expectation of us. Because understand this, Allah's expectations of us, you can think about it from an external point of view, and that's the normal way we think about it from, in the beginning, we think about it from an external perspective, because it's the religion putting a demand on us. the religion, what we know outside of us as al-Islam, the Quran, the Hadith, the Sunnah, what have you, of the Prophet. That's the, those are the X's and O's, quote unquote. And I'm trying to, it's demanding of me that I conform, comply, and that I do what it's telling and inviting me to. And but here's the mistake. Here's what's missing. What's missing is, no, your nature is also making a demand on you. Your nature, absent the Quran, absent the Hadith, absent this, your nature has a demand. Your nature is expressing, as you grow, as you live, your nature expresses its right and its expectation. And I'll go back, emphasize again, its right to be expressed. There's a nature in you, there's a destiny in that nature that is your soul, that is saying, I have a right to be expressed. And it puts pressure on you in this psychic, let me out. Express me. It's a demand of your nature. So it's not just the paper, book, principles, etc., that is saying, come to al-Islam, come to al-Islam, come to al-Islam. No, it's your nature is also saying, I have a right to be expressed, I have a right to be expressed, I have a right to be expressed. When we match up, or when we recognize and reconcile and accept the call of the religion, quote unquote, outside of us in its design, and we commit ourselves internally to conform to that design, that reconciliation is where the peace comes from, where the sense of progress comes from. But as long as there's a disconnect between what the religion is demanding, that is the pro forma religion, the Quran, the Hadith, the Sunnah, the rituals, etc., that's saying, okay, this is the blueprint, this is what you're supposed to, and we're not committed, we're not in submission, we're not committed to, okay, I'm gonna do the best I can, I'm gonna do more. When we deny that, then the soul itself is diseased. It's uncomfortable. There's an unrest. There's a dissatisfaction. There's a disquietude. And inside of this individual consciousness, that your own sense of yourself, I'll use the word ego. I don't mean it in the way that people usually talk about ego. They got an ego problem. No, your sense of yourself. See, who we think we are, that's our identity, okay? That who we think we are, identity, but then you have the soul, the nafsun wahida, you have the soul that has its origination and its identity and its reality is what Allah created it as, nafsun wahida, that's nafsun wahida. So if you can get this distinction, well, listen, this is where the Quran says, listen to it, one nafsun wa ma sawaha, by the soul and the proportionate order given to it. That's the nafsum wahida. Start with that. The original soul. Academic language, the transpersonal person, meaning this is not your individual self. This is the transpersonal self. This is outside of yourself. Okay. Wa nafsum wa ma sawaha, and its place within the system. That nafsum wahida is created by Allah, and it has a place in the universal system of things that Allah has created. Sawaha, its place. This is nafsun wahida. Wa nafsun wa ma sawaha fa'alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. And it, we're still talking about nafsun wahida. And its enlightenment, God created that soul separate from your personal self. He created that soul, Nafsun Wahida, soul that he created before you and I even came about, quote unquote. That soul that he created, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فَجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He enlightened that soul, which soul? Nafsun Wahida, the universal soul. He enlightened it as to what would benefit it, what would harm it. God, imagine God educating that Nafsun Wahida, that soul with, now look, this is what's good for you, this is what's bad for you. Allah, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Yes, that is Adam. Okay? عَلَمَا Adam الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Inside of that Nafsun Wahida is both of those. One that I'm going to focus on right now for what we're trying to express is, one is that فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He said it has been enlightened as good for it, what's bad for it. So there's a natural conscience, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, not conscious, conscience. There's a natural conscience. That is, that universal soul has been enlightened as to what's good for it and what's bad for it, right? وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا, its place, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, its conscience. Now, here you and I come. Here we come. قَدْ, surely, أَفْلَهَا, they succeed, or they cause it to flourish or grow, or, yeah, to grow. قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ, little valuable wordplay there. قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ. Men, in Arabic, that sound, men, is who. Who. But then in English, men is man. But now we know also it's not just man, it's mind, right? Mind. Men zakat. So what, who has to do this? Man has to do this. Well, what does that mean? Mind has to do this. Right? Mind, whoever, mind is the who. Mind, see, there it is, even with that. English word, who, W-H-O, who. Arabic word, H-U, transliteration. Ha plus dhamma, right? Arabic, right? Who. Still means the same thing. Who is the mind, the person, the individual, men. قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ. Men is who. Watch this. Who is you? Allahu Akbar. Who is you, right? So who is Arabic, right? But you see the play there. Have fun, right? Who is you, right? Mind, man, mind, what is mind? Mind, M-I-N-D-E, right, is the nation of the brain. Mind is the personalization of the brain. The mind that you have and the mind that I have is the mind that we have because of our personal experiences. Those experiences are recorded in the brain patterns that come as a result of our experiences. Because of my experiences, I have certain brain patterns. Because of your experiences, you have certain brain patterns. Those brain patterns are expressed as a mind or a personality, a personal reality. Your personal reality is your personality. Your personality is an expression of your mind, which is the personalization of your brain, your biological brain. It gives rise to a mind, right? And that mind is now the one that is personalized inside of that transpersonal reality. The transpersonal reality is Nafsun Wahida. مَا خَلَقَكُمْ وَبَعَثَكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. God says your creation and your resurrection is no wise except as one soul. Even though we have our individuality, our personality, our minds, right? We are all connected in this universal, but we have our individual existence, and that is expressed in our minds, our sense of our own self, and the free will that goes along with having a mind, right? So stay with me on the verse. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. The universal soul, سواها, it has a place in the nature of creation. Allah created everything, and he also created نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. It's universal. Now here comes the individual. قَدْ أَفْلَهَا, the one, the person, the mind, that causes it to grow. مَنْ زَكَاهَا is the one who spins on it, the one who invests in it, the one who purifies it. All of those things are involved, right? And so that purification in our existence, now we're in our personal existence, right? In our personal existence is that universal self, Nafsun Wahida, has a measure of expression inside of our individual existence, right? Okay, here I have a body, and now, for as far as where we're going now, I have a mind. That mind is of the nature of Nafsun Wahida, of the same nature. I'm just a little part of that universal. So you have the personal, Nafsun Wahida. The personal is my individual nafs, right? So I embody my portion of that universal self, and I become conscious of it. I become aware of it, mashallah, inshallah, alhamdulillah. When we become Muslims, we are invited into literally waking up to the universal reality that I'm talking about. What I'm speaking about right now is like, until a person is awakened to that nature of their existence, they're not connected. Their real life is, they exist, but they're not connected to the reality of their life as created by Allah. When we become aware, just that verse alone, just that little set of verses there, or the number of verses, Ayah 1, Surah 4, 91, 7 through 10, and understanding the nexus between those two, now you are awake to a world of responsibility, a world of possibility, okay, go to work. Since now you know there's a universal soul, there's my individual self, my growth has to do with how much of that universal soul I become conscious of, and what and the treasures that Allah has placed in it, the nafsun wahida, fa'alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. Yes, there's conscience that Allah has taught, but now when you understand that as Adam, allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha, when you understand that when I come alive and when I make the connection between my individual soul and the universal soul, and I see that that universal soul is Adam, and that I am Adam in microcosm. I am Adam in microcosm. Then when Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا, it says, here's your success. Your success comes through growing what is in your nature. And I have to use it because this is the way it is. You and I are holographically the universe itself. And that's not really new, because when we say macrocosm, microcosm, we're actually saying that, right? When we say macrocosm, in the context of this verse this conversation we're having, nafsun wahida, macrocosm. My individual nafs, whatever is in the macro is in the micro. Whatever is in nafsun wahida is also in me, right? So the big Adam and the little Adam, right? And the little Adam, that is me, the job is, and the success is, growing in my consciousness, my understanding of what is in my own nature, which is also the nature of creation. But then all I need to do, frankly, is focus on the cultivation of my microcosm. The cultivation of that will also, at the same time, cultivate my enlightenment about the macrocosm, right? You ask, you get that picture in Abraham, alayhi salatu wa salam, Abraham's movement from star, moon, sun. That's a part of that growth. That's a model of the growth that I, right? His growth in that picture is also his growth within himself. When we follow that model of Abraham, then we also expand the realization, actualization, the access to the great potential that Allah has put in us, right? So now, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alameen. The thing is that, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't have to say, okay, so what do I do? Where do I start? Well, you start with, you already got shahadatain. Right, next, salat, zakat, fasting, hajj, etc. Get straight on all the beliefs of al-Islam. Be clear on Allah and his reality, right? Be clear on the angels. Be clear on the books. Be clear on the prophet. Be clear on the qadr, right? Be clear on life after death. Be clear on that. Yaqeen. Get to a solid foundation where I am clear on these things, because that is our way of life. And Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams. When you get that level of clarity and certainty and conviction about the five pillars and about the beliefs, now you have a foundation. Please understand that. What you have laid, I don't want to minimize it, but I want it to be in the best context for us. But to do that, when you do that, now you have a foundation. That's the foundation. Now the every other thing that's supposed to grow out of that, and all the other achievements and all the realizations, everything we talked about, Ummah, Khalifa, etc., that comes after you get this foundation. Like, you only have the foundation to do that when you have that. So let me dial it back a little bit in terms of how that relates to this mental health scenario. So your nature, I'll have to get to it at another time. Imam Muhammad, I'll take this as the foundation for it. But Imam Muhammad has this, there's an article, there's a piece, because the growth of human consciousness. And he takes it from taqwa in matter. He takes it from taqwa in matter and how that comes to be expressed in the society at large, right? Inshallah, we'll get to that. But the point is that God's will, Allah's will, which is in nature, which is in everything that he created, including the matter of our body, the matter of our brain, that soul, that abstraction that we call soul, God's will is constantly present and literally demanding expression just by its nature. It's demanding expression. But he leaves us free. Okay, are you going to suppress my will in you, or are you going to express my will in you? Are you going to suppress my will in you, or are you going to express my will in you? Right. I'm saying mental dis-ease comes from suppressing Allah's will. It's pushing on us that fujuraha wa taqwaha. It says, this is what's right for you, this is what's wrong for you. Your soul and the natural conscience that it represents. So it starts pushing up into your personal consciousness. Now, you know you ought to do this. You know you need to stop doing that. You know it, but then you suppress it. And there are many other, there are many ways of suppressing, ways that people live. It can be drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, so many other things that suppress that nature that's trying to express it. And so, oh, I'm not ready. Oh, I don't want to. We may not say it like that, but the point is that the behavior, which does not allow for greater expression of fujur wa taqwa in the best sense of conscience, that's where the suppression is. And therefore, now there's a conflict between the person, the personality, the mind, and the natural conscience that's saying, let me out, let me out. But if that mind, who's under the will of the individual, said, nah, nah, not right now, nah, nah, nah. Okay, so there's the dis-ease. The dis-ease is in the conflict between what the nature of the soul, which is expressing God's will, saying, let me out, express me, but then the mind that has the free will and the deciding factor, nah, 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 not nah, now, nah, nah, nah. Okay, well, that's the dis-ease. That's the conflict. So the point is that we have to reconcile our personality, personal mind, personal reality, our own nafs. We have to reconcile. This is where the submission is. The submission is, okay, you submit. What are you submitting to? You're submitting to the demands of your natural conscience, the soul as it is expressed, and that expression of God's will in you through your own soul, and say, okay, I submit. Now, let's be clear on that. Inshallah, Allahu A'lam. It's like, does that mean that you're never going to have any sin, that you're never going to have, quote, unquote, errors and shortcomings? No. There's no way to live without errors and shortcomings. And everybody has their own stuff, right? So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. That's what all the other rituals are for, in part, largely. It's so that we can metabolize and so that we can dispense with spiritual corruptions that come into our lives, material corruptions that come into our lives. The rituals are designed, body is designed, to get rid of liquid waste, and to get rid of material waste. That our body is designed like that, but it's only a reflection of the psychic body, of our individual self. You get rid of the spiritual waste with salat. You get rid of the material waste, psychically, right? Psychic material waste, you get rid of that with zakat. They both go together. They both go together. So you have to do that in order to get those things off of you, right? Yes, shortcoming sin. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two examples to illustrate these two things. The Prophet said, if a man had a river flowing in front of his door and he bathed in it five times a day, would there be any uncleanness on him? He said, no, he'd be perfectly clean. He said, so is the five daily prayers. That's a spiritual cleansing. That's the spiritual evacuation, getting that spiritual off of you with the five daily prayers, right? And then the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the prophets don't take from the Bayt al-Mal. The prophets don't take, the prophets don't take from the Bayt al-Mal. Why? He says, because they are the waste material of the believers. They are the waste material of the believers. How so? How is it? Zakat. What is zakat for? Zakat is for the purification. Huh? Zakat is for the purification of your wealth. See, if you don't give the zakat, if you don't honor the rights of God on your wealth, then it corrupts all the wealth that you have. So the portion that you give off as zakat, it leaves this that you still have pure. Well, what was their sin? The zakat was the waste material, just like your body, right? You eat the food, then the food gets metabolized and the minerals and nutrients get distributed to the parts of the body that need what is to be had from the food you consume, or what comes out of the back end, literally. What comes out is the corruption. That's what comes out. The corruption comes out because that was the part that was not used in the process of nourishing the body. And it can't stay in the body because it becomes a problem in the body. So it has to be evacuated. So that evacuation purifies the body, right? And zakat the same. It purifies the wealth that remains. And so therefore, as the prophet said, it is the waste material of the believer. So in prayer and zakat, you're getting rid of spiritual waste from the psychic body, and you're getting rid of the material waste from the psychic body. All right, so everything that we've been given as al-Islam, this is why, this is not the only reason, but this is one of the reasons. Fitratullahi lati fatana nasa alayha. Our way of zalika deen qayyima. This is your way of life. So it's like when you match up the spiritual equivalency between your psychic body and your physical body, and you act in your psychic body by residing and submitting and conducting the rituals as Allah has ordered them, then you are doing just as well for your psychic body as you do when you do the right thing for your physical body. And what happens in the world that we live in is that we grow. We grow. It's like God says that you do this, and in all the ways that human beings grow, you will grow. Academics, economics, governance, culture / religion, you will grow. This is self-cultivation, right? So everything we said about that foundation, you see, so when you get that foundation laid, and when it's laid as a group, then those four birds, which you heard me mention just now, then those four birds, they start growing. But they're growing upon a foundation where you have an ethos. You have a culture. You have a group of people. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً. You have a group of people. We get it. So then they become a team. Those people say, I get it. I understand Salat. I understand Zakat. I understand this role. I understand my soul. I understand my soul as a part of the personal. And then I also understand my soul as a part of the transpersonal self. And I understand how my functioning in accordance with the design and yours and theirs and ours and our connection, now we have the foundation. So let's grow. And we grow. If the foundation is laid, and then we grow. How also are we growing? One way that we're also growing is because now, upon that foundation, upon that quote-unquote spiritual and physical purification and connection, now your excellence comes out to each of the goal to which he is turning, right? Your excellence, that is, you have purified, you have cultivated, you have tended the garden of yourself to where now your political excellence is coming out because that's the gift that God gave you. So you're more gifted from a political perspective. And then someone else is more gifted from an academic perspective. And someone else is more gifted from an economic perspective. And someone else is more gifted from a cultural perspective. All of us growing upon this foundation that we have collectively laid together. And then Allah said, now all of you turn toward the sacred mosque. You, political guy, stay focused on that. Cultivate that. Become excellent in that. You, academic guy, stay focused on that. Everyone, male, female, you know the rest of the story. So, well, that's what we'll say today. So mental health has to do with reconciling the transpersonal soul, that self, God's will, pressing on your conscience, saying this is how you should be and this is how you should not be, and then submitting to that. Doesn't mean, in fact, it's wrong for you to think, you know, now I have to become an angel, anything like that. That's the mistake that was made by those who went through monasticism and asceticism. No, Al-Islam is not inviting us to a monasticism and asceticism. And quote unquote, look, Allah loves to forgive so much that had he created man and man not sinned, He would create, he said he would take, God's messenger is telling us this, he said he would have taken that man out of existence and created one who would sin so that he can forgive them. So give up on the idea of to be pious and to be righteous is to be, quote unquote, sinless. I just say separate it. You know, you're not trying to be sinless. You're just trying to sin less, right? You do that, mashallah, and we'll be successful. By the grace of Allah, may Allah accept it from us, and may Allah guide us near to the path, even in this. Thank you for spending time with us, hanging out, and inshallah, may a couple of these, comments here, and then we're going to move on down the road. Shaheed, alhamdulillah. Imam Hamim, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brother. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Thank you. All right. Abdul Shaheed, my mental health as a member of the everyday society helps me be kun, a factor in the well-being of the human infrastructure. Therefore, I am then a free citizen in this land. The human destiny is indeed real. I agree. See, that's one of the reasons I put the notes up. So just those of you who can read ahead, go ahead, read ahead. Alhamdulillah, it's good. Assalamu alaikum. My brother, alhamdulillah, it's been a minute. Red Hot Chili Pepper, alhamdulillah, I pray all is well with you. Thank you, sir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mahdi, that's the Mahdi. Alhamdulillah. All right, Muslim MBS business credit, alhamdulillah. All right. Imam Hamim again, alhamdulillah. Thank you all. Everybody have a wonderful day. Let me let you know. Right now, I'm scheduling to have my brother, Muhsin Abdul Ghafoor. You all need to meet Brother Muhsin. Brother Muhsin is out of Newark. And I see him always when I go to that side of the world, Newark, Philly. So I hope I got him right in Newark. I'm feeling it's Newark. Jersey. All Jersey applies. Alhamdulillah. Doing wonderful things. Alhamdulillah, we want to tell a little bit of his story. It's going to be Monday on Wealth Creation and Preservation. My co-host, Haja Kamila Mahasan Shuaib, will be returning, inshallah, and we'll do that. So I look forward to that. So get with us, 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. We always start out with a beginning audio clip relative to whatever subject matter might be, and then my co-host has her presentation of material. Then we come on with our guests. So Muhsin himself will be on probably about 5:10, 5:15 or so Pacific time on Monday, and I expect it to be a wonderful, wonderful presentation. Iman says, those who don't build themselves the ummah are only Muslim in nature. Yes, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. All right. Thank you. Godspeed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.